you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we do this broadcast. He alone saved us and can save us. He has the power. To him be all the glory and honor. And down there in Ocala, you know, our dear friend Kevin. And Kevin, what's great about Ocala these days?
Well, Ocala is kind of a horse capital, as you know, but I spoke to someone from Kentucky, from Lexington, Kentucky the other day, and they're like, yeah, these Ocala people, they think they got the horse farms. Yeah. So there's a bit of a rivalry that I uncovered there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a gorgeous area, and I am just blessed to be parked essentially in a rainforest, and just my bay window, which is the 8-foot windshield, just yields sights of wonderful greenery. Loving it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, whenever you have an opportunity to pull up and be in a rainforest, you're living good. Folks, as we move forward,
Keep the bugs out, and it's
timing's good. You know, it's all right to be in Florida right now. It's if you're going to be somewhere and it's April 16th, Florida is not a bad place to be. You know, the Bible says when we think about things, we're going to be covering a miracle today about a fellow with a withered hand. And this is what I've found out in life. I've found out that people who suffer from those types of things, you know, that they'll have a little imperfection somewhere in them or in their body, you know, without Christ, you're trying to hide that all the time. You're trying to hide your imperfections. You're trying to, you know, we all have spots that we say, man, I wish that's my bad side. My whole side is my whole body is my bad side. But there's an ugly world out there. But can I tell you something, friends? There's ugliness in all of us. When it comes to God, he sees us all the same. It says over in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So the Bible even talked about that great chapter of a Proverbs 31 woman is saying, beauty's vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, there's not much better than that. And folks, having a withered hand sometimes, it's going to take you down, but someone who fears the Lord, And we got to remember the way God looks at us. God sees us all the same as people who needed a Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I remember, you know, so often we're respecters of persons. And what I mean by that, folks, is, you know, the best looking person, the most popular person, the person you want to hang with, that type of thing. We remember Peter over in Acts chapter 10. Then Peter had opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. So I think somewhere along the way, we've got off base. Somewhere along the way, we've got to a place in our lives where we're looking for people to look the right way, to act the right way. Sadly, even among some of our church brethren, most of the churches I go to don't fall into this category. But sadly, some people are respecters of persons. Well, that is so-and-so. It's a great individual. I woke up yesterday to the news. I guess this guy, I've never even heard of him. I'm not even going to mention his name because he doesn't deserve to have his name mentioned, but he was speaking at some crazy men's conference where a guy was on a stripper's pole or something with no shirt on and swallowed a sword, or I don't even know. And this guy said stupid things, basically misogynistic type of things. And people were all over Facebook. Boy, those Christians, they'll do anything. And, you know, I want to say, listen, I don't know the guy. I've never heard his name. He doesn't hang with me. And I wouldn't be found within 8 miles of the conference he was at. Remember, God is no respecter of persons, Kevin.
Amen.
That's where we live.
Yeah, that is, boy, you got me distracted there. I saw a brief blip on Facebook about that thing you're talking about. But, you know, we all want to make a good impression. And I want to make a good impression. And boy, as a missionary, a lot of times you only get one pop. You know, you're just up briefly. And, but the thing is, the Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Favor, the idea that, you know, if someone does say, oh, we love you, you're wonderful, boy, you're just the best looking thing. I can't believe, you know, for a missionary, not that people say this to me, but for a missionary, you're just so attractive. But, and most missionaries aren't going to hear that, but if someone does think it, you know, that's deceitful, because you just can't trust the favor that comes that way. Beauty is vain. And, Doug, the reality is it's empty. And there are times where someone will take a picture of me, you know, one of my kids, and it looks pretty good. The lighting's the right way. The profile is right. And then there's other times someone will snap a cameo and you're like, oh, what? Do I look that way? And, you know, if they're your kids, they're like, oh, no, you don't look that bad. I mean, you don't look, you know, they're trying to reassure you.
I've been like, there, wow. Brother. Yeah.
There's a couple times I looked in the mirror in the bathroom, and when I went into the church service and stood up to introduce myself, I said, hi, I'm what's left of Kevin Robb. And then I chuckle, because that's the reality. We're dying every day. But, you know, we're in good company, because Paul had people that, you know, compared him to Apollos, who was an orator, and he was probably pretty good. He probably has hair parted in the middle, combed back. I don't know. But in 2 Corinthians 10:10, it says, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. These are actually the false apostles that say that to the Corinthians to minimize the message of Paul. And it says his letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. And, you know, it just happens sometimes that way. I mean, that's life. I've sometimes had people that will tune into a podcast, and then I'll meet them and they're like, wow, you don't look at all like you sound on the podcast. And I could tell from their countenance, it's probably not a good
thing. It's not favorable. I get it too, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm 60. How old am I? 61. So that's just the reality of where we live. But Paul's bodily presence, said they, was weak and speech contemptible. Concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, meaning the Son before God the Father in his life. He would grow up as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I think all of us want to be desirable for our beauty, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's why the Bible talks about the Proverbs 31 woman being arrayed in nice soft clothing and that kind of thing. It's natural desire to be attractive. But I think if we're not careful, we will get what's called the imposter syndrome, where we are living an image before people. And so we have a kind of a baseline of guilt that we're not real with people. I mean, we're just so manufactured, so plastic. And listen, I get it. We want to look our best. But we should just be careful that we're not just so tied up, because one symptom of that is when you look at other people. If you have imposter syndrome, again, it's not sinful to have that, but if you have imposter syndrome, you look at other people according to what they look like, and because you have put on such a good front, such a good air, then you think, well, look at them. Or if someone else is plasticized, you say, yeah, look at that. That's so fake. That's so phony. Well, my mother used to say, it takes one to know one. And we ought to just look
at it. I miss that saying, man. Yeah. Yeah. My mother used to say it too. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss it too. But yeah, may God help us to realize, you know what? Beauty is skin deep, and the greatest beauty is in the heart.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, about 1 out of 14 people walking around in this country of ours has some type of deformity. And, you know, they feel hung up about it. You know, 3 out of 4 people say they see something profoundly wrong with the way they appear. Can I tell you something? God is no respecter of persons. He's got our back. He's going to get you through these things. It's okay. So if you look at 46% of Americans 75 and older have shaken, have a deformity, something you can personally see. Let's go out of our way as we look at God's word. Some of the things Kevin was saying, so good that we should, you know, we should put the person first and not necessarily the appearance, because I'm telling you, you know, the older you get, your hair grows faster out of your ears and your nose than it does on your head. And we're all getting there, folks. And let me just say, you know, we got a God that looks at our heart, looks at our whole being. And that's the God that I get to serve. And that's the God that you get to serve. Hang with us. We'll be coming right back with you.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
You know, as I read today's verses over in Matthew 12, 10 through 13, and looking at the man who had his hand withered and who was healed, and I was thinking about the Pharisees in all our life. There's people lurking around every corner, it seems like, those of us who trust God, wanting to find us doing something that's not exactly right or whatever the case may be. I'm here to tell you that's not new to you. We see it over here in the New Testament. We find it throughout the Bible. And behold, it says in Matthew 12, 10 through 13, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall be among you? Shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Our God's in the restoration business. You know, he takes a body before this world, the way a body was, the kind of shape a body was in the Garden of Eden, and he just returns it. God's in the restoration business. He just makes everything right. And I'm here to tell you, if your body doesn't get restored here on earth, it's okay. On the other side, we're going to be like Christ. It's going to be cool. You're going to love it. You know, there's a scene going on. I think of the scene going on, and this is always a weird thing, when there's people who are actively messing with you and thinking that you're not of God, in the same place as somebody you're trying to help. And Jesus can handle, Jesus is God, obviously. He handles it. He heals them. But think of the scene out there. Right away, the Pharisees come to Christ. Right away, they say, is it legal for you to do this? Should you be? You know, they're talking, they're squirming around, they're running, they're pointing to things. There's people in every church like that. There's people in every clique like that. There's people in every crowd like that. But, you know, you just turn around with the word of God. You know, when you think of this scene, the way that Jesus responded, he says, you know what? You guys are these legal freaks. You're a bunch of legalism kills, folks. Legalism stops people from being healed. Legalism stops people from being saved. Legalism stops people from living a good life. Legalism misinterprets what God's word has to say about us. And isn't that what the devil is all about? The devil wants to distort our image of God. Even to those of us who are saved, they want us to look at people who don't look necessarily the right way, who don't show up on particularly the right day, who don't say particularly the right things, who aren't looking the right way. And, you know, the devil wants us to be distorted about that and say, look at that dude. He could do better than that. Or look at that. Why is that person here? And you know what Jesus does? He doesn't get hung up at all. He just tells the man, you know, open up that hand. I love the way Christ does it. You know, there's never any abracadabras, hooga bagoogie. There's no special prayer. There's no speaking in tongue. There's no falling around on the ground and jumping all over the place. There's none of that going on. Jesus is like, hey, dude, you know, open your hand. You know, just open your hand. It's all right. Don't worry about the Pharisees. Don't worry about the freaks. And sometimes, you know, folks, Don't get hung up on the man-made restrictions that get in the way of your faith. Don't do it. Our God is a compassionate God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is, restores people completely. Our God is a powerful God. So always have mercy and compassion over legalism. Remember what legalism is. We trust every word in the God, every word in God's Bible. We think it's sufficient. We don't have to add any man's words to it. We don't have to add traditions to it. We don't have to look back in time. That's some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my life. We don't do that. What we do is we have compassion. There's kindness. We show love to others, especially in times of need, folks. I mean, that's a lesson here. When someone's in need, be compassionate to them, love them, care for them. And the value of a human life. I love that Christ is talking about the value of a human life compared to a sheep. He's saying, which one of you knuckleheads, which one of you Pharisees over there, if your sheep falls in a hole, won't reach and pull it out? You know, he's looking right at him in the face. You could bet on this. He's saying, you know, you guys are hypocrites. And, you know, you assimilate to your own version of legalism, but you're not thinking about what you're doing. And, you know, God doesn't care about our social status, the way we look, about our ethnicity, about our gender. God cares about our hearts. And one of the things I like too is here's God talking about the true purpose of the Sabbath, what it's all about. And you know, it's a day to honor God and show compassion to others. That's what the Sabbath was always meant to be. And here's these Pharisees. Now we want to add stuff to it, Kevin. We want to change things up and we want things to go our way, not other people's ways.
Yeah, boy, you know, Jesus tangled with these guys so many times that you know, you'd think he'd just say, "Phooey on you, I'm going back to heaven." But he didn't do that. He was quite a man. He just was real. He was just real.
100%.
And yeah, and I think today we do. You were touching on this. I think we can fall into the same trap as these religious leaders, the Pharisees, because, you know, we don't realize the misuse of Scripture can lead to even greater harm than its non-use. And so we're like, well, you know, someone's got to get the Bible and, you know, kind of bring it out there. But Bible says the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So, you know, unscriptural use of Scripture, i.e. things like legalism. What is legalism? Well, Jesus tangled, you know, a few verses earlier with the same crowd over the Sabbath issue. And he said, hey, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You know, so you need to realize the priority. And then in another place, he did a miracle on the Sabbath. And he said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So going back to its purpose. And here, again, he's dealing with the fact that it's lawful to help people. All the time, you know, and if you had, you know, a sheep in a pit, wouldn't you go for it? Well, yeah, this is the overriding principle that Jesus has. But, you know, it's just a darkness that people fall into by thinking that being, how can I put it? A guy named Toby England put it this way: Christians need to realize our flesh can be equally gratified through flagrant sin and strict rule keeping. Licentiousness and legalism grow from the same dark root. Beware of both. I thought that was so good. That is what these Pharisees were involved in. They were gratifying the flesh through their observance of laws, and they were claiming it as a badge of Christianity. And, you know, it's just a sad thing. I think churches can get into this. I think churches, Doug, can fall into the trap of saying, well, these are the things that we don't do. That's a sign that we're a good church. Be careful, because the Bible does talk about some things that we don't want to do can be a sign of our weakness, our human weakness. So if my weakness becomes a standard of the church, if something I struggle with is always the standard of the church as a leader, then we got problems. So yeah, I don't want to be like these guys. I want to be like Jesus, who went out and said, you know what? I'm going to follow the spirit of the law and help somebody. Yeah. And perform this rescue for my Heavenly Father.
That's the God we serve right there. I'm going to follow the spirit of it. I'm going to follow the spirit of God. That's good, Kevin. You know, we get off, folks, and it's easy for us sometimes to place conditions upon God's relationship with other people. We say, well, this person isn't necessarily exactly the same that I am. Can I let you know something? Though we all share DNA, going back to Adam and Eve, I get that. We all share a common gene. Everybody on this earth is different. That's the God we serve. And listen, just love God. If people are saved and serving God, just love them. Muckle a hold of them, hug them, pull pores with them. I used to work with a colonel who would walk in and say, I want to pull pores, P-A-W-S, paws, pores. You know, like pulling a paw with a dog and come in, I want to pull pores today. We serve that kind of God. Go pull pores with somebody, folks, and understand we serve a healing, wonderful God who's not hung up on legalism. No, he's hung up on love, the other L. There's two L's out there. There's legalism and there's love. Make it about love in your life. Love people today. Go out of your way to smile. Hey, you look great to God. And you look great to me, too. He looks at your inside. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation, or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.